The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. In this hour, I'm going to cover a lot of different ground and a number of different stories. Young woman in Connecticut, very inspirational, got up and shared that she was turning down a scholarship to pass on to other students in need. Also, many of you have emailed me about the recall here in California. What's the latest? There's a troubling series of circumstances that may say that Governor Newsom is trying to, let's just say, throw a wrench in the works. We'll give you that story. New Hampshire school labeled unvaccinated students attending the prom. That's a story straight out of hell. A report out of Britain is calling for the complete cessation of COVID vaccines in humans. And other stories as well. By the way, there's a story that broke over the weekend off of Cape Cod. Anybody that's read the story of Jonah in the Bible and has said, oh, right, well, we have a story by which a man was swallowed by a whale and has lived to tell about it. We'll get into that story as well. And one more story before we get into this moment. We've not really talked about elections, what may or may not have occurred. I really have not spent a lot of time in the last number of months going back with my view that I think some funny business went down. There is a story out of Georgia I want to read to you as well. You can draw your own conclusions. All that, as well as you're invited to call the program anytime, 888-528-2557. Phone lines are wide open, 888-528-2557. If there's something on your mind you want to share or talk about, you are welcome to call the program. But I want to officially begin this hour with something that happened. It's hard to believe it's been more than 2 years. It just seems like it was yesterday. We've been talking about leadership and standing up for the gospel. Do y'all remember Stephanie Borowicz? You're like, nope, name doesn't ring a bell. She's a lawmaker in Pennsylvania. A little more than 2 years ago, she began the prayer on the Pennsylvania House floor with this.
Thank you, Speaker. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this privilege, Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day. And I'm so privileged to stand here today. So thank you for this honor, Jesus. God, for those that came before us, like George Washington and Valley Forge and Abraham Lincoln, who sought after you in Gettysburg, Jesus, and the founding fathers in Independence Hall, Jesus, that sought after you and fasted and prayed for this nation to be founded on your principles and your words and your truths. God, forgive us. Jesus, we've lost sight of you. We've forgotten you, God, in our country. And we're asking you to forgive us, Jesus, that your promise and your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you'll heal our land. Jesus, you are our only hope. God, I pray for our leader, Speaker Terzai, Leader Cutler, Governor Wolf, President Trump. Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that we're blessed because we stand by Israel, and we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as your word says, God. We ask that we not be overcome by evil and that we overcome evil with good in this land once again. I claim all these things in the powerful, mighty, name of Jesus, the one who, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
So hard to hear, but kind of away from Borowicz making the prayer, some people are getting really upset, even to the point shouting her down, telling her to shut up. Here's a story from a little more than 2 years ago. Along with being nervous and excited about offering the prayer, Borowicz said the way she prayed on the House floor is how she prays with her family. Several Democratic representatives said her prayer tarnished the swearing-in ceremony of Representative Movita Johnson-Harrell, a Democrat from Philadelphia. Evidently, on that same day, Harrell was to be sworn in. She's Muslim. She invited a bunch of guests, and they were offended by the prayer. It became quite an ordeal. As Borowicz's word continued, Johnson-Harrell said she realized what she was hearing no longer sounded to her like a prayer, but more like a political statement intended to, quote, weaponize my swearing in, end quote, with the mention of Israel, President Trump, Tom Wolf, a forefather who owned slaves. Johnson-Harrell said she felt attacked and some of her guests even became heated over Borowicz's words, and she had to console them. Prayer came to an abrupt end. We heard some woman, that State Representative Margo Davidson, shouted, objection! We've heard enough! Shut the Christian up! At that point, House Speaker Mike Terzai reached out to Borowicz in what appeared to be an effort to end the prayer. And then she said, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. So why do I pray that? That was 2 years ago. Some people not tolerate it. And I read this story. Again, you can take this information and decide for yourself. Freedom of speech. Was she out of line? I have had, over the years, I've had prayers in my audio file of atheists, Satanists, Muslims, where it's all good. But the moment a Christian starts dropping the Jesus name a few times, oh, that's intolerable. Separation of church and state. How dare she? So here's a little glimpse into what happened on a high school campus, a graduation speech. You may have heard a few weeks ago, a young woman kind of tore up her notes and went on this rant that somehow there's a war against women's rights. Because in her state of Texas, they signed a heartbeat bill that the government had the audacity to say they were going to stop anyone from killing a baby when there's a heartbeat in the womb. How'd you like to be a proud mommy and daddy in this audience? Your son or daughter's about to graduate high school. And the graduation speech is given by this young woman. And she shared the following. She's not even a student. She's a school board member. They allowed and they encouraged to give this graduation speech, in which she told a class of high schoolers that they were entering a world filled with, quote, racism, extreme versions of individualism and capitalism, and white supremacy. She encouraged them to remember their, quote, jihad, end quote, and reject the concepts of objectivity and neutrality. Fairfax County School Board member Obrar Armaish gave the keynote address at the commencement for Justice High School, recently renamed Justice High School, in Falls Church, Virginia. Ceremony began with a ceremony of junior ROTC military cadets. We're the only people at the graduation that had masks on. I don't know why that is. I'm not even going to speculate. Class president then led what she called the nation's anthem, referring to the Pledge of Allegiance, get ready, in which she said the U.S. was one nation under Allah. Omesh was out of view of the camera, but a picture from another recent graduation shows her as the only person without her hand over her heart during the pledge. If you think that's not, well, gut-wrenching enough, this is just the beginning. Wait to hear exactly more of what occurred. President of the student government then introduced Omesh by noting that she was, quote, Virginia co-chair of the Bernie Sanders campaign, and that her father, Esam Omesh, was a, quote, leader and a board member of the Jar al-Hijra Islamic Center, who, quote, raised his daughter to be an outspoken woman. Dar al-Hijra is a mosque attended by two of the 9/11 hijackers, as well as the shooter in the 2009 attack on Fort Hood. Its imam was Anwar al-Awlaki, who President Obama ordered killed by drone strikes for plotting terrorism for al-Qaeda. Omesh noted that her father was in attendance at the graduation. Her address seemed to herald the school's roles as political indoctrination centers. Here's where it gets really, well, you decide for yourself. Quote, you all kicked off the first ever Black History Month assembly to ensure that we confront our history and answer honestly about the ills of our past, end quote. She lauded a teacher who used her access to children to encourage them to become political activists and said that demands by students were an effective way to change school policy. Quote, huge shout out to the class president who called her a role model, and Mrs. Corey Haynes, a teacher, for her leadership in supporting and empowering students despite the pushback. Let's hear it for them, guys. They empowered your voice. Your model, Justice Class of 2021, moved the superintendent of the 10th largest school division in the country to follow your lead to teach with courage. And you pushed to incorporate that in the school schedule because you understand that social justice is only political for those who can afford to ignore it. Pay attention to this sentence. You understand that neutral is another word for complicit, end quote. Much of the speech appeared designed to signal that she is unrepentant for a recent tweet in which she called Israel a colonizing state that, quote, desecrates the Holy Land and kills Palestinians, end quote. She indicated that she feels similarly about America, saying, quote, let us acknowledge the stolen land from the Indian peoples, end quote. She also lamented, quote, child forced to question and hate the faith they love because of bullying, frequently slipping into Arabic in her speech. Some of her fellow members on the all-Democrat school board have offered tepid criticism of her comments on Israel, but in her graduation speech, she encouraged graduates not to let that kind of thing bother them. Finally, in her introduction, the student leader said, Omesh faced, quote, hatred for speaking truth to power about the Palestinian experience, but continues to overcome and be an example so that young leaders like us will do the same, end quote. The introduction from a student also stated that 2 years ago, Omesh's civil rights were violated by the police due to her appearance. She was attacked and discriminated against. The entire incident is on video. What did the officer do? Chose an officer pull her over after he watched her run a red light. Obviously, he couldn't see in the car. When he got to her, she repeatedly refused to show her license, refused to get out of the car, which led to her arrest. Again, this is called her civil rights were violated by the police due to her appearance. 2017, the school board voted to rename the school from J.E.B. Stewart High School to Justice High School, discarding the results of their own survey, which found that the community members there wanted to rename it just simply Stewart. Polled this month, the Fairfax County voters found that most, quote, do not support schools being used to push racial activism like critical race theory. Survey also found that majorities of parents in all political parties oppose the elimination of advanced academics in the name of equity. Why don't I read you that story? Well, number one, to tell you this is going on. Number two, to challenge you to find out what that has to do to you. What does that have to do with you? It's not like somehow necessarily that's what's going on in your school. But unless you're homeschooling or your child is in one of our best private schools, safe to say your children are shortly going to be in indoctrination camps where they're going to be learning about sex and equity and critical race theory. We send our sons and daughters off to university campuses and college campuses, and they come home. They hate God. They hate you. They hate this country. And we wonder what happened to my precious little child. And more than anything, what do? Do we just sit back and take it? And here's the silver lining of this dark story. Many parents have had enough, whether it's at a school board meeting or they're pulling their children out of school and homeschooling them and a whole array of other parents. And I think this particular woman epitomizes so much of where parents have absolutely had enough.
I think the Board of Education and those sitting on the panels are thieves. I think they're liars and have committed treason against our children. Stop indoctrinating our children. Stop teaching our children to hate the police. Stop teaching our children that if they don't agree with the LGBT community, that they're homophobic. You have no idea each child's life. You don't know what their family lifestyle consists of. You have children like mine who is Muslim, and I'm Christian, and everyone would think they would never believe that of her, right? Because the way she looks, or according to Miss Cyrus, she's too pasty white.
Ma'am, we're not allowed to use names. If you have something you'd like to discuss about a specific person, you can call the superintendent or leave your info for her to call you tomorrow.
Why are we not allowed to discuss names? Why am I not allowed when they purposely themselves expose themselves on social media talking about calling for the death of a former president, or saying that any child that doesn't believe in Black Lives Matter should be canceled out? Is this what my tax dollars is paying for? You're teaching my children and other children that if they believe in God Almighty, they're part of a cult. These educators put their own names out there. We have Mr. Barry, who took it upon himself with Ms. Cyrus to create a curriculum.
That should be it.
Do you want the proof? I have the proof. You created a curriculum of Black Panther indoctrination.
Ma'am.
You use taxpayers' dollars.
Can I ask you one more time? I have no issue hearing what you have to say, but...
Why can we not let the public speak? Why can't we let the public know that you're teaching our children to go out and murder our police officers? Do you want the proof? I have the proof. Is that what scares you, the proof?
So this mom's had enough. There's another Virginia teacher that's been in the news, was fired from his job. He's gotten it back. He went in front of the school board and shared this.
My name is Tanner Cross, and I'm speaking out of love for those who suffer with gender dysphoria. 60 Minutes this past Sunday interviewed over 30 young people who transitioned, but they felt led astray because lack of pushback or how easy it was to make physical changes to their bodies in just 3 months. They are now detransitioning. It's not my intention to hurt anyone, but there are certain truths that we must face when ready. We condemn school policies like 8040 and 8035 because it will damage children, defile the holy image of God. I love all of my students, but I will never lie to them regardless of the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion, it's lying to a child, it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God.
So obviously not the same topic, but still has to do with what's going on in schools and people speaking out and paying the price. Now, let me share this last story that's, I won't say more outrageous than the first one, but in the same category. And you can bet this New Hampshire school, this high school, is, let's just say they are soon to do as much backpedaling as they can. Students attending a high school prom in New Hampshire were labeled with a number on their hands to show if they are vaccinated or unvaccinated against the virus. State Representative Melissa Litchfield, a Republican who represents the 11th District in Rockingham, wrote in a lengthy statement on social media that she's gathering information about what happened during the June 4th prom at Exeter High School. Can you imagine? One of the constituents who contacted Litchfield wrote this: if they were on the dance floor, they had to raise their hands after every three songs so their numbers could be recorded by other underclass students for contact tracing purposes. There's even more to the story, but this alone is surprising. We truly feel they are literally branding our kids if they don't get this experimental emergency approved vaccine. Another message Litchfield added shows that a constituent found the actions of school officials, quote, absolutely unbelievable, compared it to how prisoners were treated in Nazi Germany. One message read, quote, marking them, thus singling them out, and then having to raise their hands is beyond tolerable. First, the school could be looking at lawsuits for violation of HIPAA rights. They've got no business asking for a vaccine card. Last Thursday, masks were no longer required outside. If this is in effect, it should not have mattered if they were vaccinated or not, end quote. Beside the markings, someone also told Litchfield there was a list that included the first and last name of every student and also showed their vaccination status. Learning that children who weren't vaccinated had a number written on them in a Sharpie at a prom last week. There's more to the story, but we'll follow it. What a time. Any thoughts you have are welcomed on anything that I've shared. More to come. Man got swallowed off of Cape Cod. And when we return, what's going on in the state of California with the recall effort? Well, Gavin Newsom is doing everything he can not to make it happen. We'll tell you that information next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Today is Monday, and it is actually National Flag Day. If you don't know, on this date in 1777, the Second Continental Congress adopted the flag of the United States of America. This is also the birthday of the Army, the 246th birthday of the U.S. Army. Welcome back to the radio program, 888-528-2557. Got an email from listener Steve asking about something I made reference to a little while ago about a British report calling for the vaccines to be pulled. Here's part of the story. An urgent preliminary report of yellow card data issued by the UK-based Evidence-Based Medicine Consultancy Limited, submitted to the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, the MHRA, states that, quote, the MHRA now has more than enough evidence on the yellow card system to declare the COVID-19 vaccines unsafe for use in humans, end quote. Similar to the United States Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, which has come under some controversy, the MHRA describes the purpose of its yellow card system as providing, quote, an early warning that the safety of a medicine or a medical device may require further investigation, end quote. Report goes on to say that it should lead to cessation of the vaccination rollout while a full investigation is conducted to the many stories, the many reports of side effects from all three vaccines. Quote, it's now apparent that these products in the bloodstream are toxic to humans. An independent halt to the vaccination program is required While a full and independent safety analysis is undertaken to investigate the full extent of the harms, which the UK yellow card data suggest include, and a whole listing of many negative reactions to either of the three shots. There are at least three urgent questions that need to be answered by the MHRA before any of this should continue, the report says. Number one, how many people have died within 28 days of vaccination? Number two, how many people have been hospitalized within 28 days of vaccination? And number three, how many people have been disabled by the vaccination? How about mask wearing? A Washington man has filed a federal lawsuit against the CDC, President Biden, and several other agencies challenging the mask mandate on transportation systems. Lucas Wall, who described himself as a frequent traveler, argued in his lawsuit that having to wear masks on transportation systems is unconstitutional, particularly while traveling within one specific state. Wall wrote, quote, "They're improper, illegal, and unconstitutional exercises of executive authority." Wall states he's fully vaccinated and recently was turned away by the Transportation Security Administration, you know, the TSA, the folks at the airport, at Orlando International when they saw he wasn't wearing a mask. Wall told an agent, quote, "No, I will not wear a mask. That's why I have my vaccination card." Agent then told Wall he needed to wear a mask to fly to Orlando. He refused, saying that he suffers from anxiety and breathing difficulties. In his lawsuit, Wall wrote the following, "I'm a frequent traveler, having flown more than 1.5 million miles, visited 134 nations, as well as all 56 U.S. states and territories. Said I'm currently stranded at my mother's house in the Villages, Florida, because defendant TSA refused to let me board a flight in June out of Orlando for not wearing a mask, even though I have a qualifying disability." Wall went on to state in his suit, "Due to my generalized anxiety disorder, I've never covered my face. I tried a mask a couple of times for brief periods, but had to remove it after 5 or so minutes because it caused me to instigate a feeling of a panic attack, including hyperventilating and other breathing trouble. I carry cards in my wallet to hand to anybody who asks me to wear a mask." Wall also claimed the mask mandates have, quote, "ignored countless scientific and medical data showing that face masks are totally ineffective in reducing coronavirus spread." I've had a lot of you email me about this idea of what can I do because my work is saying if I don't get vaccinated, I'm going to get fired. Do I have legal rights? Here is my, honestly, my uninformed opinion in that I don't know your situation, but here's probably the broad truth of things. Your employer can fire you for anything. Is it legal? Well, you can file a lawsuit and we'll see what the courts say in the aftermath. But this idea that your business is saying you have to be vaccinated, I think it's something you have to come to grips with on, okay, what are you going to do? I think this is forcing our hand in so many ways. I if you're new to the program, I'm not one that falls into the category that they're vaccines and they're safe. Anytime a government is trying to coerce me into taking a shot by a whole array of things, a lottery, free pot, this, that, no. I would hope that they're confident enough in, in an ability to explain the health implications of taking it or not taking it, not bribing me and saying, hey, you could be the next millionaire in California. Take the shot. It's, you know, just like an afterthought. Only in California. Only in California, Assemblyman Kevin Kiley, who last week announced he may run for governor in the recall effort of Newsom, saying that he is warning that Newsom and some in the legislature are trying to manipulate the recall election. Kylie wrote on his website, "We've just learned Gavin Newsom and the legislature will ram through a new law, AB 152, to give him total control over the date of the recall vote. This is unsurprising, doesn't make it any less chilling. Newsom and his enablers are changing the rules for his own recall in the middle of the game." Kylie wrote, "They cheat in plain sight, then wonder why people lack trust in our elections. So far, they've delayed the vote using a corrupt law from 2017. You may have heard they had 30 days to look into the opportunity to contact people that signed the recall, and Newsom's approach, maybe you made a mistake, give you an opportunity to rethink this. Well, according to Kylie, they added 6 weeks more to bully people to withdraw their signature. Want to know how many people have backed away? I'll just keep reading. The number who chose to do so, 42. And then the author of this piece writes, that's less than the number who will win the Newsom vaccine lottery. On Kylie's website, he also stated Newsom thought his best chance was to put the vote off until the state opens. Now he's decided waiting too long presents other risks, so he's changing the law to set the election exactly when he wants. Meanwhile, he's ignoring media inquiries about the letter being sent to him asking him to justify the state of the emergency. Many are being told everything is going back to normal, except for the amount of power held by our current governor. If the election is set for mid-September, that means we have 100 days to save California, writes Kevin Kiley on his website. By the way, if you want to know numbers, when they did this, all right, let's see who may recall their signatures for whatever reasons. According to Katie Grimes of the California Globe, Newsom and Democrats were seriously embarrassed when news broke that only 36, now at the time of this writing, 54 total signers of the recall rescinded their signatures out of 1,719,943 validated by the Secretary of State. As the Globe reported, if the Secretary of State was going to invalidate the recall election, Newsom needed 224,234 Californians to change their mind about signing the recall petition. 54 have. We'll keep on this one. By the way, I've not heard of AB 152. We'll look into that one. So for those of you that say, what's the status of the recall election? I guess it falls into the stay tuned category. When we come back, a story out of Georgia. For those of you that don't want to hear about election results and manipulation, a very strange story. And we'll close the day with a man who was actually swallowed by a whale. Not a modern day Jonah, but anybody that's read the Bible, when you get to that one, you're like, really? Belly of a whale? Well, it happened last Friday off the coast of Boston. We'll talk about that and much more next here on this, The Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to The Frank Sontag Show. In a state by which, in the not-too-distant future, powers that be have declared we are going to be, well, free of those polluting gas-powered vehicles. We're going to be all about electricity. Listener Nelson just emailed me. Just got a message from Edison to reduce electrical consumption tomorrow from 4 to 9. Here we go again. Yeah. We're going to be, well, we talk about energy and independence and the state of the future. The new Green Deal. All I can tell you is the same people that are peddling such things, take a long, hard look at the bank accounts. Tell me how they're doing. And then when was the last time you Took a long, hard look at your bank account. How are you doing? What's happening to the middle class? Socialism is alive and well in our country. How we got here? Some were concerned the last election may not have been on the up and up. Now, I have not been one to talk a lot about it in recent weeks or even the last number of months, but this story caught my eye. I think this is worth at least letting you know. You can come to your own conclusion. When Fulton County, Georgia poll manager Susie Voiles sorted through a large stack of mail-in ballots last November, she noticed an alarmingly odd pattern of uniformity in the markings for Joe Biden. One after another, the absentee votes contained perfectly filled-in ovals for Biden, except that each of the darkened bubbles featured an identical white void inside them in the shape of a tiny crescent, indicating they had been marked with toner ink instead of a pen or pencil. Adding to suspicions, Voiles noticed that all the ballots were printed on a different stock paper than the others she handled as part of a statewide hand recount of the November 3rd presidential election. By the way, none were folded or creased, as she typically observed other mail-in ballots that had been removed from envelopes. In short, she said it looked like they'd been duplicated by a copying machine. Voiles said, quote, all of them were strangely pristine, end quote. She said she never saw anything like it in her 20 years monitoring elections in Fulton County. As it turns out, she wasn't alone. At least three other poll workers observed the same thing in stacks of absentee ballots for Biden processed by the county. Now they've joined Voiles in swearing under the penalty of perjury that they looked fake. Now, election watchdogs have used their affidavits to help convince a state judge to unseal all of the 147,000 mail-in ballots counted in Fulton. So that's ongoing. A side note to the story. One judge said that where they were being housed in a warehouse on a number of pallets shrink-wrapped, that was to be guarded by security and police. Well, lo and behold, it has been determined a handful of days ago there was a breach in security. It was reported after sheriff's deputies left their post for a couple hours. They must have gone out for a smoke break or something. When it came back, the front door was found unlocked, wide open, in violation of the court order. No word on the stack of pallets and the state that they were in. Election fraud. No, you're just a poor loser. Okay. Got to love that guy. Popular president in office right now. 81 million votes. Best president. Most popular president ever in the history of the country. Yeah. He sure is one sharp dude, isn't he? I'll close with this. 56-year-old commercial lobster diver named Michael Packard was swallowed by a humpback whale off of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and lived to tell about it. Packard's job is evidently to go to the floor of the ocean and pull lobsters off while his partner is on a boat at the water surface and kind of monitors him. Friday, Packard began to struggle 45 feet below the surface when, next thing you know, a whale swallowed him. Packard said, quote, all of a sudden I just felt this huge bump and everything went dark. Can you imagine? What happened? Where am I? I could sense that I was moving. And I was thinking, did I just get bit by a shark? I then felt around and realized there was no teeth. I felt no pain. Then I realized I'm in a whale's mouth and he's trying to swallow me. I thought to myself, okay, this is it. I'm going to die. Packard said he thought about his family, his boys, 12 and 15. Loaded with heavy scuba gear, still able to breathe, Packard tried fighting the whale, which began throwing his head side to side. He said in about a minute time, all of a sudden he saw light and he was erupted and said he was thrown in the air and landed in the water. He said, I couldn't believe I got out. He said, I'm here to tell about it. I thought my legs were broken, but I was only bruised up all over, and I made it. He said, it happened so fast. My only thought was how to get out of that mouth. I thought he was going to do with me what he wanted to do. He was either going to spit me out or swallow me. I still had the regulator in my mouth, so I was able to breathe. Packard was flown to Cape Cod Hospital. Story hit social media. This is the part I find rather humorous. I'll just read literally. The story was discussed frequently on social media within the Christian community. Paul Chitwood, president of the International Mission Board, said, quote, I'm wondering if the former president of a Baptist university who told me that no one still believes Jonah was swallowed by a whale has seen this. End quote. Yeah. Okay. Well, if you'd like to email me if you have any thoughts, franksontag@kkla.com. Also, a week from this coming Saturday is our KMG event in Ventura County. We have 29 tickets remaining. That's it. Go to franksontag.com to see our lineup. Daryl Strawberry will be back. Pastor Jack Graham. Rob McCoy, who is the senior pastor of Godspeak, will also be there. Others as well. We hope and pray you'll be there, men. We had an email, a woman saying, can my 10-year-old son come? And I said, well, that's not a yes or a no. So if you're considering bringing your son, I'll leave it up to you and under your own discretion. But we are not saying no immediately, because I think sons bringing their fathers or fathers bringing their sons has happened a number of times in the past at a KMG event. So why not this one? Ventura County, Saturday, June the 26th. Go to franksontag.com to get one of the remaining 29 tickets right now. This is the Frank Sontag Show.